You're listening to SBS News.
The year began as tensions over nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula rose to fever pitch. But in a seemingly impossible feat of diplomacy, Donald Trump secured a meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, becoming the first United States president to meet a North Korean leader.
And we have developed a very special bond. So people are going to be very impressed. People are going to be very happy. And we're going to take care of a very big and very dangerous problem for the world.
North Korea continued its streak of positive diplomacy when Kim Jong-un became the first leader of his country since the armistice ending the fighting in the Korean War to cross the military line that divides the two Koreas. However, questions remain over whether this will lead to any real changes on the peninsula. In the United States, the midterm elections called Donald Trump's popularity into question. The Democrats won control of the House of Representatives, which President Trump managed to characterize as an incredible day for his Republican Party.
The Republican Party defied history to expand our Senate majority while significantly beating expectations in the House for the midterm and midterm year.
While the world marked 100 years since the end of the First World War, which those that were living it had called the war to end all wars, there were still many conflicts raging through 2018. Thousands of people starved and continued to starve as a result of the war in Yemen, described with sadness by the United Nations Humanitarian Coordinator in Yemen, Lisa Grand.
I think many of us felt as we went into the 21st century that it was unthinkable that we could see a famine like we saw in Ethiopia, that we saw in Bengal, that we saw in parts of the Soviet Union. That was just unacceptable. Many of us had confidence that that would never happen again, and yet the reality is that in Yemen that is precisely what we are looking at.
Meanwhile, the war in Syria entered its eighth year as the Assad government and allied forces continued their quest to drive out IS. Britain had a flashback to the Cold War when an ex-Russian spy turned British double agent and his daughter were poisoned with the Soviet-era chemical weapon Novichok. While the nerve agent failed to kill the intended targets, traces of the poison killed a British civilian, appalling UK Home Secretary Sajid Javid and the world.
It is completely unacceptable for our people to be either deliberate or accidental targets, or for our streets, our parks, our towns to be dumping grounds for poison.
Britain also remained riven by Brexit, with the deadline for negotiations marching inexorably closer, sparking criticism from the British people and opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn.
All we've had is waffle and empty rhetoric. Businesses need to know. People want to know. This government isn't on the road to Brexit, Mr. Speaker. It's on the road to nowhere.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May agreed to terms with the European Union, but the British Parliament wasn't so cooperative, over fears it would result in a hard border with Northern Ireland. In more positive news out of Europe, the British royal family dazzled the world as Prince Harry married American actress Meghan Markle.
In the presence of God and before this congregation, Harry and Meghan have given their consent and made their marriage vows to each other. They have declared their marriage by the joining of hands and by the giving and receiving of rings. I therefore proclaim that they are husband and wife.
Shortly after the wedding, the new couple visited Australia. Prince Harry opened the Invictus Games, which he founded for wounded, injured or sick armed services personnel and veterans.
Our Invictus family has turned these games into a symbol of strength, honour and optimism for a new generation. You are the role models to us all.
In Australia, it was a dramatic year for politics, with the country earning worldwide notoriety as the country with a revolving door of prime ministers, the latest being Scott Morrison after Malcolm Turnbull was toppled. Global news organisations like the BBC scrambled to make sense of the state of politics down under.
Blimey, Phil, Australia now readying for a new Prime Minister, the seventh in 11 years?
Yes, they'll have to start oiling that revolving door at Parliament House in Canberra.
Mr. Turnbull didn't emulate his predecessor Tony Abbott and retire to the backbench. He quit politics completely. It set off an historic by-election in the previously unassailable Liberal seat of Wentworth, where independent candidate Karen Phelps swept to power. Liberal backbencher Craig Laundy spoke candidly to the media about the result.
It was pretty clear that people of Wentworth were not real happy with how their local member and the former Prime Minister had been treated.
In addition to leadership turmoil in the Liberal Party, the Nationals endured not one, but two sex scandals. Nationals leader and Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce was dragged into the spotlight after he fathered a child with an ex-staffer. It prompted then-Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to introduce a new code of conduct for members of Parliament.
Barnaby made a shocking error of judgment. In doing so, he has set off a world of woe for those women and appalled all of us.
Later, when Scott Morrison became PM, he made Malcolm Turnbull's planned apology to victims and survivors of child sexual abuse in Australia.
Today, Australia confronts a trauma, an abomination, hiding in plain sight for far too long. To the children we failed, sorry. To the whistleblowers who we did not listen to, sorry. To the spouses, partners, wives, husbands, children who have dealt with the consequences of the abuse, cover-ups and obstruction, sorry.
The Banking Royal Commission, that the government had repeatedly said was unnecessary, finally got underway, and its revelations were deeply shocking to many. Senator Pauline Hanson voiced her anger at the consequences of banking misconduct as a torrent of bad behaviour was revealed, including charging customers who had died and charging customers for services they never received.
There has been suicides committed. It is atrocious what has happened, and it breaks my heart.
The Australian media landscape changed forever when two industry giants, Nine and Fairfax, merged. The ABC also faced upheaval. First, the managing director, Michelle Guthrie, was fired, quickly followed by Chairman Justin Milne's resignation as a result of public backlash and questions of political interference. Bushfires in Queensland were unprecedented, destroying property but sparing lives, as noted by Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk.
No one has ever recorded these kinds of conditions ever in the history of Queensland.
Australia lived up to its reputation as a land of flooding rains and drought. Parts of Queensland and all of New South Wales were declared drought affected and farmers struggled to cope.
We're suffering like now. We're starting to already cut water. If we don't get rain in the next month or 6 weeks, we're going to run out of water, full stop.
Nature took its toll around the globe, with hurricanes making landfall in the United States and the Philippines. California suffered the worst wildfires in its history, and Greece was devastated by fires, with destroyed coastal towns saying they weren't warned in time and didn't have evacuation plans. Earthquakes and tsunamis rocked Indonesia, and a volcanic eruption on Hawaii destroyed homes in an unstoppable lava flow. Unprecedented summer temperatures saw Europe and Japan swelter through a heatwave affecting most of the northern hemisphere, while in winter, what was dubbed a polar vortex buried North America, Europe, and northern China in ice and snow. The United Nations climate change spokeswoman Patricia Espinosa added her voice to scientists' repeated warnings that the world is already suffering the effects of climate change.
The effects that are happening are affecting communities around the world, casualties, destruction in so many places, suffering, a lot of suffering derived from the consequences of climate change.
And it was an action-packed year in sport. There was the World Cup in Russia.
France are the 2018 world champions.
And the Winter Olympics in South Korea saw records shattered, and the two Koreas come closer, competing as one team. A Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast delivered another international event to Australian shores. But the jubilation was shattered when Australia's cricket team attracted global condemnation, caught cheating in a test match in South Africa, permanently staining reputations, so said former English captain Michael Vaughan.
The first and foremost thing that they're going to be remembered for whenever they finish, doesn't matter how many Ashes series they win, how many World Cups they win, they're going to be known as a team that cheated.
Captain Steve Smith and Vice-Captain David Warner stepped down from their roles and received unprecedented sanctions from Cricket Australia, a weeping Smith giving an emotional apology to fans and the nation.
I just want to say I'm sorry for the pain that I've just brought to Australia and the fans and the public. It's devastating and I'm truly sorry.
But the story that enthralled the world this year happened in a corner of Thailand, where a young football team became the centre of an epic story of survival and rescue. Striving to get the boys out of an elaborate cave network, the world truly came together. Australian Federal Police's Glenn McEwan commended the efforts, including that of Australian diver Dr. Richard Harris.
It's amazing what the human being can do. You know, there are extraordinary people doing extraordinary things.
A year of highs and lows, but certainly one to remember. Murray Silby, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.